I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
We meet again, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble. The checks march on and the holders are out. It's Monday, 28th of June. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Jim Campbell.
And I'm Pete Donaldson.
Happy Monday, everybody. Happy, especially if you're from the Czech Republic, Jim. Mm.
Or Belgium.
Or Belgium.
Or anywhere.
Or anywhere.
Yeah,
or anywhere.
The people from the Netherlands need it.
Yeah. They do. They need
our love.
A big old boost. Mm. My goodness, chaps, it's heating up, isn't it, in England's side of the draw?
Yes.
And the other side of the draw as well, because we've got Belgium versus Italy, which is a big old beefy match. But we'll talk about that in a bit. Let's start with the Netherlands versus Czech Republic. After I ask you, Pete Donaldson, how was your weekend?
I enjoyed it.
Great.
I went to the match in a orange micro dress.
Did you really?
No, didn't do any of that.
Do you know what? I saw the guys in the match, they were wearing the orange suits.
Mm. Yeah.
And I think that's a bit of a trope because I've seen when the Netherlands came to Wembley once, I can't remember when exactly, I saw those orange beauties.
The guys who were dressed as had lion face paint as well.
No, there was no face paint going on. No. They just have an orange sort of polyester suit.
It's probably tiger face paint.
That was the Foxy Bingo man.
Saw them on the tube once in London Underground.
Mm. There you go.
Good to see them.
Yeah, I mean, it genuinely was good to see that much Dutch colour in the stadium, wasn't it?
Mm.
That's what they are. They do quite literally light up a tournament.
Were they lacking Dutch courage, Jim?
You'd hope they don't have Dutch courage during a game. The first 10 minutes would probably be raring to go and flying out the blocks. But after that, you would think, yeah, probably.
Is it courageous
probably
to...
Probably shouldn't have been drunk when I started the game.
Is it courageous to handle a ball, to present someone with a red card situation?
Evidently not.
Is that courageous?
I mean, seeing it live, it seemed really daft. And you're like, well, obviously he's going to get sent off. I can't believe it took that long. Seeing the replay was like, yeah, that's exactly what I thought. And then seeing the replay after the game, when there's been a bit of time to settle, it's
yeah,
like,
you got,
this
you're still silly.
Is utterly clownish. This is one of the most ridiculous shapes I've ever seen a human being make.
Why is everyone blaming the manager? I'm sorry, I don't care where you are as a manager. Mm. You cannot plan for that. A man doing a bit of handball.
Yeah, unless De Boer has said, look, if he's got the beating of you, fall over and slap the ball.
Yeah. I mean, he did say that he would take the blame, although I did feel sorry for Matthijs de Ligt because he said after the match, what I've done has cost us. Mm. And when you hear a young lad like this, just you feel very sorry.
Kind of hang over his career.
But it did change the match, didn't it?
Not completely.
But then the change didn't necessarily have to be made where you lose your wing back so you can't bomb on. It's like you can do that.
De Boer could be the way that he reacted to it. I mean, by the way, and you're very clever with hindsight, aren't they? People then after the game, well, the Czechs bossed this. They absolutely bossed this. They ran the show. They deserved it. It's like, well, hang on a minute.
Yeah.
If you'd have said halfway through the first half, or for the majority of the first half, I would say, and even right up to the goal, lest we forget they had a chance, the Dutch, you said, you know, Czech Republic are going to win this 2-0. I don't think many people would have believed
you.
No,
absolutely not.
And of course, the game ebbs and flows, but the sending off was absolutely crucial.
It was, but because... purely because it was quite tight, wasn't it? I mean, for me, the hallmark of the first half was the Dutch having to go back to Stekelenburg because they just couldn't get through the Czech line. And they were so, so organised.
Yeah, but they missed a chance, a one-on-one. Seconds, was it? You know, a minute or something like that before De Ligt gets sent off.
Yeah.
Now, they should score that.
Yeah.
It should be 1-0 up there. How a game suddenly sort of changes. Yeah, the Czechs played it well. I mean, the Dutch... the question marks have always been over the Dutch defence. Gary Neville has said this a number of times. Our very own Luke Aaron Moore has very much been an opponent, I would go as far to say, to old Frank de Boer.
Liverpool found it very hard this season without Virgil van Dijk.
They did. They did very much did. So I know that the Netherlands defence has been in question, and people saying, well, when they play a good side, you know, they might struggle. Well, of course, the way the draw opened up, you know, the best sides are in the other side of the draw, so maybe they could have gone on a run. And of course, yeah, the Czechs did well to sort of contain them a bit. On another day, you know, the Dutch might score. They didn't create too much. So the Czechs, I suppose you could say, managed the game well. And then when the mistake or the error happened with the sending off, you know, they pounced. Yeah. And you've got to give them full credit for that.
They were really patient with it as well, which was interesting because the Dutch seemed to fall apart under the very idea that they only had 10 men now. And it wasn't like the Czechs were bombing up and like trying to just batter the door down. They were really, tidy, really patient, just kept to their tidy game, and well, obviously it paid off.
Well, Shiel Harvey, the manager of the Czech Republic, of course, who got a lot of praise pre-tournament by various journalists. I mean, on the Lions Watch podcast that Luke and I did in the run-up to the tournament, we interviewed a Czech journalist who said he is a brilliant manager. He's brought the team together. They're well-drilled. And it's all the cliches that people can say, well, shouldn't most teams be like that? Well, on that game, you know, you would suggest that. But he really has fostered a great team spirit with a side who have a sort of a differing recent history with major tournaments. They failed to get to some. They've not really performed that great. They've done very well in others in recent memory. So to get a side like the Czech Republic going... He's done extremely well. We saw with Hungary, you know, at one point they were going through, you know, what team spirit can do and being well organised. But they have a bit of quality. Mm. Holles was brilliant. I think it's pronounced Holles. I don't want to call him Holes.
Yeah. he was so busy all the time. He's like an attack dog. He's like, I want the ball. Give me the ball.
Absolutely right. And then, of course, with Schick up front, real quality there to put the ball in the net. His fourth goal of the championship so far. And they were excellent. But the Dutch, though... I mean, attack is really the only thing they did. We saw them in the group stages, sort of a bit of a swashbuckling start, and they entertained.
Yeah.
They were decent. With this, though, as soon as something went wrong, it was bad.
Mm. Yeah.
But that's the thing. You can lose a game heroically with 10 men. As you know, we've seen our very own England do that on occasion. But to crumble the way they did, that's quite damning.
I was on Van Aanholt's transfer market. He looks like he's played about 40 games this season, but he clearly hasn't. He's only played like 20 for Palace, but he won't be playing anymore because he's gone.
My expectation of the Dutch was that they would lose in an entertaining way where they just, their defence sort of fell apart and they just, someone pumped them for goals. And I suppose you could argue that that happened, but I didn't expect it to be quite as self-destructive and also quite as meek.
Yeah,
I suppose that's the thing with tournament football, isn't it? Your expectations count for nothing, essentially.
But I think that's what Chilhavi's done with the Czechs there, is that they've come through a tough group. And I think, as you know, Luke made the point, actually, England's group was tougher than people might think. You know, Croatia's still a handy side. They're obviously playing Spain later. It'll be interesting to see what happens there. Mm. The Czechs themselves are good. People saying this side can go further than actually people might give them credit for. So, I mean, against the Dutch, like I say, I know what you mean with the Dutch, you know, the way they played. Again, the way the group kind of pans out, they're thinking to themselves, we could have a run at this. Because, you know, Czech Republic, they would think, well, we're the superior side here. They were the favourites, of course they were. But Chilhavi and the Czechs, they didn't seem to be afraid of anybody.
No.
And nor should they be. And the way they, we often hear the term, especially in this tournament, game management. Seems to be the one of the buzz phrases of this Euros. Is that it was a case of, they're going to come at us. Let's just batten down the hatches and weather the storm. And the mistakes, the cracks will appear at some point. Mm. And they probably would have done. I mean, they didn't realise it was going to be such a spectacular one with the sending off, of course. But the fact of the matter is, after nearly conceding, goalkeeper makes a great save, to then have De Ligt on the turn, which he's not that great at, getting his feet in a bit of a mess. And Neville said himself, you never slip. You get yourself into a bit of a panicky situation, and then you react as such, and that seemed to be the case.
Absolutely. Gary Neville did also say that every goalkeeper should save every shot, though, didn't he?
So, when did he say that?
I forget exactly when it was, but it was on Sky. It was mad. So give De Ligt a little bit of bit of sympathy as well there.
I think they were just confused by the fact that the Czech Republic are playing a number nine at right back. They're just like, I don't know what's going on.
I did enjoy Kufal tripping over the ball as well. It's surprising that that doesn't happen more, really.
What do you mean?
Little rotating, knocking around.
Yeah, you don't want that. Your
it's quite
feet.
Easy to knock you
it's
off
a trip
your balance,
hazard, isn't it? Yeah.
Exactly.
True.
You could stand on that and fall over like Kufal did. You don't expect that of the winning team. You don't expect a team to, one of the professional footballers of a team to have stepped on the ball and fallen over and that not be the most calamitous thing in the game by any stretch.
No, it was the second goal that was the most calamitous.
What I loved about the setup for the second goal was the first touch to knock it through the two defenders was one of those sublime touches where you do that and you carve a whole team open. Like, it was glorious. The second touch, you're like, oh, he's knocked out of it too far wide. And then, unfortunately, the third touch was obviously to pass it into Schick, who just sort of stroked it into the back of the net, which was delightful. The first goal, though, was quite damning again, because to have that sort of free header, that, you know, quite close. I know it was a bit of a pinball sort of situation. But again, like, you're down to 10 men. Do something other than think, all right, we've just got to attack or something. You know, like, set up and go, right, okay, lads, this may go into extra time. We're going to have to be patient here. Mm. But I think that was the only thing. De Boer himself said, I wanted to go to a 3-3-3 after they were 1-0 down and the second goal went and killed them. But I don't know, like, there just seemed to be very little sort of, right, we're down to 10 men. Okay, let's keep the ball as much as we can. Let's play conservatively. And with a player like Frankie de Jong in the centre of the pitch, you have the option of having someone who can put his foot on the ball and just knock it, and sideways passes and backwards passes if needs be.
Yeah.
But there just seemed to be none of that.
Panic, really, wasn't it?
Completely.
They just seemed to panic, and it was a little bit, I suppose, unbecoming of such a great nation.
But you do, and then of course towards the end of the game, all they're doing is just hitting hopeful passes up the pitch.
Surely you've got a plan going into a tournament for what happens if someone gets sent off.
Well, you must do.
You should do, shouldn't you?
And this is why I think De Boer's going to come under heavy criticism, because it looked like he didn't. Now, I'm sure he did. And again, we can all sit here and say all this stuff. It's quite, you know, it's easier said than done. And I understand the panic that sets in, da-di-da-di-da. But you have to be better. Mm. And the Czechs thought, thank you very much. And it's a famous victory for them. And they play Denmark in the quarterfinals. Both of those teams will be thinking, lads, what a chance. Mm. What a chance we've got. You know, none of this, you know, England and Germany thinking, oh, hang on. Those sides, with the momentum that they have, Czechs will feel, and also the way those two sides finish their games, the Danes have scored, what, they got 8 goals in the last 2 games? You know, they hammered Russia, yeah, and then the way they beat Wales, they finished the game with a canter. That kind of energises you. Compare that to the way Belgium finished the game. We'll come on to them in a second.
They've both got pedigree as well. And there is something to be said for the sort of the power of nostalgia, isn't there? I mean, I suppose, obviously, Denmark are in this really unique situation where every positive thing that happens to them feels euphoric, as we discussed the other day, because of the sad circumstances of what happened earlier on in the group. Obviously, they've won it before in 1992 in exceptionally strange circumstances. Uh-huh. The Czechs were in the final in 1996, of course, and also they have clearly got the calm heads needed to be mature about that.
Yeah.
And it's so exciting for both teams. This is going to be a really, really interesting matchup.
Yeah, I
completely agree. Two Schmeichels contesting a final in the Euros. That's what I want to see.
You want to see that, don't you?
I want to see it.
Yeah, no, obviously not at the same time.
Not at the same time, though. That would be madness. I don't know how that would even work.
I don't think it would be possible, actually.
We just get Pete on the coaching staff, don't you? Peter Schmeichel, that is not you.
Okay.
I do like the fact that the Netherlands have been shown 4 red cards at the Euros, all against the Czech Republic or Czechoslovakia. So why are we surprised, actually, it happened?
Mm. Yeah, it's on
and
us.
And it does, again, beg the question, Frank, you knew this was going to happen. Yeah. You should have looked at the history books.
I thought I'd get half one because they're just Czech now.
Yeah. he did just get a booking, didn't he, initially?
Yeah, I guess so.
And then, oh my goodness, you imagine, though, what it's been like being defended. It would be like being told, I'm telling the teacher on you, and you're thinking the teacher's looking up at the evidence and, oh, it's coming, don't send me off.
The VAR is taking longer again, isn't it?
Yeah, I think
By the time there's a Czech in the final,
yeah,
for England's goal, it will take about 10 minutes.
Yeah. Thomas Hol is obviously man of the match, and he said after the game, "This is a dream, the best game of my life." Isn't that nice? You see,
yeah,
that's lovely stuff. That is, but it was the first time the Netherlands didn't have a shot in a major tournament game since records began in 1980.
Poor.
Rubbish.
I mean, that is slightly misleading because, again, the way Marlon went through,
yes,
you know, I know that's not registered as a shot on goal, but it's, I mean, it was a glorious chance. It was very well saved by the goalkeeper, but absolutely glorious. But yeah, they will face Denmark on Saturday, which will be an intriguing encounter, gentlemen. But I mean, it makes England's 1-0 win against the Czechs a little bit more impressive.
Yes, you know, we were in the true group of death. It was just a slow death, that's all.
Yeah,
it was a very, very slow death. The sad thing about the Dutch going out is that we won't see Denzel Dumfries anymore.
He's had a lovely time
this summer.
He's been brilliant, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Marauding up and down.
Yeah, well, is he going to be marauding up and down the Premier League soon, Jim?
It's tempting to assume that every player will be at one point, won't it? Because of our kind of ingrained Premier League focused arrogance, so
he could be the subject of a £40 million move to sort of middling ambitious Premier League side, and then he plays a dozen games, and that's about that.
I think he's better than that.
I think he is as well.
I think he'll go for cheaper as well because it's a depressed market. I can't talk about this depressed market. People who would be worth £300 million are now £100 million, and it's regarded as a good deal.
Yeah.
So I think he's a £20 million footballer, and people are like, "What a great deal!"
Newcastle United.
No,
too exciting. To think?
Too exciting.
£20 million is a lot as well.
We had Van Aanholt in the championship, and look where he is now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, all right, fair enough. Well, wherever he pops up next, or even stays, because he can stay where he is, we look forward to seeing him. Because we don't know. This is the thing. In the Euros, sometimes we think, you don't really discover that many new players because of the internet and blah blah.
You always
blah.
Do though, don't you?
You always do, Jim, because you can't be across everything. All right, everybody, let's have a quick break.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
I read something, some quote from the worst manager in the history of the Premier League, Frank de Boer, 7 matches, 7 defeats, 0 goals, where he was saying that it's not good for Marcus Rashford to have a coach like me. If he was coached by Frank, he would learn how to lose, because he lost every game.
Oh, welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody. Oh, you've got to feel sorry for Frank the Farmer, haven't you?
Torturous. You really do.
Yeah, he's a great player as well.
He was.
Can't deny that. All right, it's time for emails. And, we've got a new jingle from Stuart Cornelius. Press the button. Tickle your ivories.
Football Ramble.
It's a pretty good place to start.
Football Ramble.
But it just sounds a bit gimmicky.
But I think it's exciting around.
Football Ramble.
Phil Neville.
He confused testicles with balls.
Very rarely does it all go completely silent because no one knows what to say.
Where does this rank? Is it above or below punching the punching of the horse?
They thought to themselves, "Well, old Fizzer knows his onions."
Personally, I think it's a bit of a silly one.
You got email.
Well done.
Football Ramble.
The home of Willy Waver.
You got email.
Tune in this time next week to hear it again.
Don't play it again. Stuart Cornelius.
Lovely stuff.
Excellent.
Lovely stuff.
Well, I know that one.
People aren't bothering to put the email address in anymore as well.
Yeah.
Show at footballramble.com if you're interested.
I'm impressed that he's taken some clips there of me on Sky News. That's how much digging he's done.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, there we go. So Fariha Rashid has been in touch and she says, with the pandemic inducing a lot more quality family time, we've naturally found ourselves watching a lot more movies and TV shows in the evenings. The other day, we ran across Dan Dana Dan Gold on Netflix.
Vaguely. Yes.
Remembering that the Pete's Film Club review for this wasn't as bad as, say, Playing for Keeps, I suggested to my family that we watch it.
Sorry.
This was a mistake. Damn right it was. Please bear in mind that we are a South Asian household, so we're used to watching Bollywood movies on a regular basis and are familiar with the fact that they're very much hit or miss. This was a miss. I don't think Pete's Film Club really conveyed the extent to which this movie is a massive dumpster fire. This is almost 3 hours of our respective lives we'll never get back. Did you guys miss the fact that the team doctor wore a jacket labelled with RN on the front? Now, I believe RN is registered nurse.
Right,
isn't
okay, is that what the point is being made there? But if there's anything else that stands for RN, I want to know.
I mean, it could be many things, couldn't it? But not enough to be a doctor, effectively. I think that's the point there. Suffice to say, my movie picking privileges have been revoked until further notice, and I can't figure out whether it's the Ramble team's fault for glossing over how stupid this movie is, or whether it's my own fault for seriously considering a selection from Pete Donaldson.
Yeah.
A dig at the end there.
I'd like to apologise and congratulate the Rashid family for being playful with their movie choices.
Yeah, I thought
it's it was a long film.
It was a long
The
film.
Overarching thing from Film Club was that was about 3.5 hours. It was insanely long.
I thought we put the boot into it quite heavily, and maybe we did put the boot into it quite heavily, and it's still not enough to get across how unenjoyable that experience was.
I think it's on them. I'm sorry. As loathed as I am to defend Pete, I think we did spell out how poor that it was in Pete's Film Club.
Yeah.
Okay? It's not going to be a cracker.
Have a look at Diamantino. I enjoyed
yeah,
that.
Yeah, that was good. That was a good
that
one.
That was weird.
Better than Dan goal.
Definitely.
Yeah, which absolutely. I believe is the fifth instalment.
Right. So, yeah, show at footballramble.com if you have any more bones to pick with us, I suppose.
Playing for keeps. Three words in that order that I thought I'd never hear again. Didn't want to hear again, everybody. Right. Let's go back to the Euros. Belgium beat Portugal. 1-0. This was, would you call it a bruising encounter, Jim?
Last half hour was.
Yeah, the was. It was.
Sort of little bruises where energy, you don't know where they came from.
Energy sapping affair, I would say.
It was like, always going to be this, though, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's quite attritional, I think. That we often think when you have two good sides who we know can score goals, they face off. Rarely is it a great game.
Yeah.
You know, it really is. This is, you've got to win. That's the name of the game. And there's pressure on both sides. Portugal, of course, with Ronaldo up front, he's aware that this, it's very likely he will play in the World Cup, presuming they qualify, which you would have thought they would.
He'll get his record.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. I mean, Ali Daei's record is, joint record, we should say, is safe for another couple of months at least. I think 1st of September is when Portugal play their next World Cup qualifier. So there was a bit of pressure on Portugal, obviously, the holders and whatnot, but also Belgium. How many times have we heard it's now or never for this Belgian side? Yeah. You know, they really, really didn't cover themselves in glory in the Euros when they were beaten by Wales. A great performance by Wales and all, but it was still 2014 World Cup. They were a bit poor despite getting to the quarters. 2016, 2018, it was like, oh, hang on. And it was just a brilliant France side that obviously just edged them. But now it's kind of like, now's your chance. But they've got Italy in the next round and then France, probably. I say France, as it? I've suddenly assumed France are going to win their games, but I would think that
possible,
they would be favourites, you know. But it's a big game. But what did you make of this one, Petey? Were you thoroughly entertained or were you disappointed?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, Portugal have such kind of riches in going forward that I just think, did modern managers just, they're unable to kind of like put together a cohesive kind of plan for an offensive side.
Yeah.
They just kind of like, he just seemed completely like halfway between several different kind of stools, so to speak. It was a really, really good half hour, but like, you know.
Are you talking about Felix and
Fernandes, like, in the last match, he dropped him, obviously, and he looked way better in this match because he'd had a rest, presumably. Yeah. But Jota had a poor tournament. Mm. Like, why not sort of give him a rest? I mean, he's been poor all tournament. So, I don't know. I think the Santos sort of said that Portugal had a load of shots compared to what Belgium had, but pretty much all of them, I think, were outside the box.
Yeah.
And they were absolute howitzers, and you've got the Golden Glove, or the, I guess he would still be holding the Golden Glove right now, I suppose.
What, Courtois?
In bins, the World Golden Glove. So, I don't know. It's just, but then on the other side, Hazard and De Bruyne are going to be massive misses for their time, hopefully.
I mean, we don't know
they're
if
not
they
too
are
serious
missing yet, but if they are, that
De Bruyne's
is
looked pretty
amazing news
rough
for everyone else. Terrible news for Belgium, isn't it? Yeah, De Bruyne's looked really bad. The way his ankle bent is not... that doesn't look like the sort of thing you just shrug off. But I mean, hopefully for the sake of them.
But does a player, it's all right. Does a player have such, you know, strike fear into the opposition as much as De Bruyne does at the moment? I mean, obviously you talk about, you know, the likes of Lukaku's great player, and as you mentioned, Ronaldo and so on. But I mean, you saw what De Bruyne did when he came in against Denmark in the group.
There's a sense with De Bruyne, isn't there? If you can stop him doing one thing, he will just think of something else.
Yeah, I mean, he really is like, you know, obviously one of the best players in the world, that, to say the least. You could argue that he is the best player at the moment. But the influence he has, even when he went off, Portugal upped their game.
Yeah.
And there's a few things at play
Belgium
that I understand.
Sort of receded into themselves.
But Belgium are a bit like, okay, well, he's off now. Because when he's on the ball, he can, you know, he does all manner of things, but even like picking a long pass if you need that kind of outlet sort of thing. But when he came off, Portugal sensed, right, now we can turn it on. So you would worry for them if he's not playing against Italy, because that will give Italy a huge boost as well. But we shall see about that one. But what about Torgan's goal, Jim?
Oh, it's beautiful.
A swerver.
Wasn't it? It was the like Roberto Carlos-esque kind of banana swerve on it. Like, I loved the replays of that showed you quite how close Rui Patricio got to it as well. But it was that bend that took it in, and it was going to take something special, wasn't it, to kind of break a deadlock like that. You knew it
would
was going to be
the goalkeeper at all?
No, I don't think so. I think
the swerve
on it is just too good. Like, he did everything right, and he couldn't really stretch any further, could he? I'm sure he would have done. He's not expect a gadget.
Well, it's fair enough. Yeah, I mean, it was nice to see Eden Hazard putting a shift in, even though he got injured, though, Pete, because I sort of, one could almost forget that he's a very, very talented footballer.
Yeah, well, it's just nice to see him. No, I mean, he's not really a smile on his face. He's not really much of a smile, I would argue, but it's nice to see him playing with a bit, it's feeling a little bit more expressive and freer. It's nice.
Using his prominent rear, as I know you're a fan of that kind of
using lovely trunk and all
lovely
of it.
Lovely soft bump.
Junk. I enjoyed Renato Sanchez a lot as well, just running through walls.
Yeah.
He's had a really good tournament.
What about Pepe running through people?
Oh, perfect. Look, never retire. Never do what, inject him with whatever is needed to keep that man on that pitch, because the villainy is exceptional.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, it was glorious. It was, I was expecting, to be fair to Portugal, they dealt with Lukaku fairly well, considering what a handful he is physically.
He had a big role in the goal, though.
No, he did. But that's what I was going to say, is physically, you know, intelligence-wise, just goal scoring. You know, he's got the lot. He's got everything as a player. And his selflessness is often highlighted, which we talk about, say, someone like Olivier Giroud for France. But Giroud doesn't, in the international stage, doesn't really back it up too much with goals, certainly of late. I know he's goal scoring.
Not in tournaments, yeah.
Not in tournaments. I know he scored a lot of goals for France, but, you know, the point has been made. Whereas Lukaku seems to do all that and add the goals. Yes. So he's such a threat. So the fact is that he didn't score, he didn't have any sort of clear-cut chances, really. They sort of did a job. But I did think we were going to see a bit more schoenhausery from Pepe towards him. But obviously it wasn't needed, really.
No.
Maybe Pepe was a bit scared, actually. Maybe even Pepe was a bit like, do you know what?
I could be made to look a fool here.
Yeah, exactly. And then Torgan Hazard presented himself and he was like, thank you, what I've been waiting for.
It's not like players weren't trying to bring Lukaku down.
No.
It's just easier said than done, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I think that's probably the point. I mean, Palinha, was it in the first half when he just tried to haul him down and Lukaku's like, no. It was like the original Ronaldo, you know, when he would burst through. Obviously, that goal against Compostela, we all remember that one. But you just, how do you stop this man? But to be fair to Portugal, they sort of marshaled Lukaku. They weren't too bad, but he's just relentless, isn't he? I mean, he said earlier in the week, when people talk about Lewandowski, Benzema, Kane, Suarez, they say it's world-class level. With me, it was always about good form. I belong with that group. You have to agree
absolutely
with him.
He does.
Massively agree.
63 goals for Belgium.
Yeah.
It's an astonishing record. He's only 28.
And you can see that's sort of slightly winding him up, because I wouldn't put him down as particularly arrogant. You know, that's the kind of, if someone like, you know, Ronaldo comes out with some sort of quote like that, you kind of expect it. But with Lukaku, you know, his whole life, if you look at his backstory when he was in Belgium, it was always about proving people wrong because of the horrific abuse and so on he would sometimes get when he was playing younger football. So, yeah, like, butter him up. Do you know what I mean? Like, before the game, you should say, oh, yeah, he's like the best striker in the world and all the rest of it. Because otherwise, he's going to go, right, I'll bloody well show you, you know. And it will be quite devastating.
There was a lovely moment where Lukaku, at the end of the match, was like hugging Cristiano Ronaldo and sort of giving him some whisperings into his ear. And you could tell Cristiano could see the camera approaching and he had to kind of pull away so he could do his, oh, now I'm gutted face to kind of...
Yeah, he was a bit like, look, mate, I've just lost, we're out. I think, can we get this over with?
Lukaku probably just whispered, finished player.
Penaldo.
Yeah, Cristiano Penaldo.
Cristiano Penaldo.
How many free kicks do you need to get a goal? Much was made about Ronaldo's free kick taking. Apparently he scored one in his last 50 for Portugal.
Is that, no one's got a free kick in the...
Currently, no.
And there's been loads of own goals, like more than like the last 9 tournaments combined.
Really,
or
right.
And also, we're not far off there being, not far off overtaking the amount of goals in the last tournament altogether already.
Like, oh,
there's
really?
Always weird little quirks about tournaments, and there's loads in this one.
Yeah, no, that's very true. Roy Keane was a bit upset with João Felix. Called him an imposter twice. Guy's an imposter. He's an imposter. Your country needs you. He comes on. Hit the target. 100 million. If I was Ronaldo, I'd be going after him in the dressing room.
He's going to do that anyway. But
yeah. That sounds like the sort of thing one of those like Penaldo accounts says. It's amazing. He's gone full troll.
Honestly, Roy Keane, you know, he brightens it up, but he's getting to the point where it's just like, just maybe do some, like, figure out what you're going to bloody say, and that's rich coming from me, but figure out what you're going to say and don't just fall back on, he's not trying hard enough.
Well,
he's not kicking hard enough.
He's waiting for somebody to fall below the standards. Because, I mean, that chance, it was more of a half chance that Felix had when it came to him on the edge of the box, and obviously he hit it wide. I mean, it was quite close to his feet. You can't really.
Let's analyse the game. We don't need, like, that man is bad.
Turn off
look
your
at the
standards
bad man.
Radar.
An imposter.
Imposter.
Yeah. An imposter.
Mm.
I mean, that is very, very harsh indeed. The thing is, for Portugal, obviously Ronaldo, you would... Well, do you know what? I was about to do that whole, you know, right off the Germans. He's coming towards the end of his... He'll be playing for another 10 years at this level.
Probably.
But with Portugal, again, you know, one or two players, Pepe would be another obvious one, and Ronaldo, age-wise. But, you know, João Felix is obviously a very, very good player. You know, he's very young. You know, they do have options. And you would imagine if you're Bruno Fernandes, you want to be... Because he likes to be the main man. You would think... Come on, mould the team round me. But as you say, he's not starting every game. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's a really good squad, isn't it? On paper, you would think it's better than the squad that won Euro 2016. So they do have to go away and have a rethink about how they're going to get the best out of these players coming through.
And Ruben Dias is a young guy. I mean, I know he had a header, of course, that went straight to Courtois another day. That, and Portugal came away saying we were unlucky. Aguero hit the post.
I said Paul Jewell there. Not Portugal. Paul Jewell.
Was he unlucky? Repeatedly?
I don't know.
Yeah. But Portugal, they weren't on it like a car bonnet. And if you remember. For those who remember that story. But Portugal, they felt they were unlucky. And it's true. On another day, they would have got an equaliser.
And also it's a tough draw, isn't it?
It's a very tough draw. But I think on the balance of play and what we've seen at this tournament, I think, you know, Belgium, I think they're the second best team in this tournament.
I just think Portugal really, I think they flattered to deceive at the end of that game against Hungary.
Yeah.
Obviously, they were a bit overawed against a German team that aren't a vintage German team. And also, the game against France was a little bit odd. I just think that actually, when you look back at all of their performances, it's quite underwhelming.
But do you not think, with the coach Santos, you mentioned their performance 5 years ago, of course, when they won the tournament. It was very attritional when they played. You know, you look at their results and performances. Three draws they went through from the group. You know, a late goal in extra time against, I think it was Croatia, penalties against Poland. A favourable draw, let's be honest, against Wales in the semi-final, where again, it was just attritional. And then in the final, hats off to them. You know, beating France in Paris. But if you look at the squad now, they have more flair going forward. They have more attackers. And I think with Santos, the way he sort of sets them up, they won the UEFA Nations League, by the way, we can't forget. And they had that on their shirts, apparently.
They did,
UEFA
Nations
League. Craig Suter got in touch on Twitter.
Yeah, good old Craigie. I just wonder if he, as a coach, when you have all that attacking talent, there's a kind of, I should maybe do that. And yes, it's a tough gap. You've been beaten by Belgium, for my money, the second best team at the tournament behind France. It's no disgrace to go out by the odd goal, and another day you may have gone through. But I just wonder if with this Portugal side, when you break down their results and performances, was he a little bit, I prefer to play defensively, and he had, as I say, 5 years ago, Nani and Ronaldo up front. You kind of know what you're doing there. Whereas this time round, not sure how to set up. Should I go more attacking? I sort of have a duty to do that.
Is this not what people are saying about England as well, though?
Possibly. Mm. But England, I think, is a bit different. I mean, these are the holders, of course. They've won the tournament playing a certain style of play. And then a few more players come along, like Felix and Fernandes more prominently.
Felix is an imposter, though.
Yes. I think that's probably ruined it.
Yeah.
By the way, I mentioned Nani there. Did you see on the weekend he got the winner against Inter Miami? Fizzes into Miami. There's 14 sides in the division that Fizzes in. They're 12th.
It's not great, is it?
Struggling. No.
If he wants that Newcastle job, which he obviously does,
he's going the right way about it. No, he's going very much the right way about it. But there we are. But yes, as we mentioned, Belgium will play Italy in Munich on Friday night, which is proper tasty. Pete Donaldson,
be organised. Get through these rounds.
He's talking to me.
Belgium Italy is an exciting one, isn't it?
Yeah.
I don't know what to make of Italy now, because they were so different at Wembley than they were in the groups. Mm. And I wonder if that's just the circumstances of the game.
But they came good, though. They showed it in extra time, because against Austria actually played that really well.
So well organised.
They were.
And Belgium are really well organised as well.
They are, but Belgium will show more attacking intent, whereas Austria were happy to sit back because they know, again, that they're the inferior side, a bit like the Czechs. But Austria didn't have that moment against Italy, whereas the Czechs did against the Dutch. And Italy are a superior side to the Netherlands, of course. But yeah, I mean, I know what you mean. Italy in the group played... Italy have played teams so far that they've been expected to win against. Against Belgium, that'll be, you know, it's a huge test. for both sides, you would argue. Tonight we've got Croatia v Spain, tasty one, and France versus Switzerland. David De Gea is apparently amongst the Spain players practising penalties in training because he missed in the Europa League final.
Yeah.
So they are going to have all, no stone will be left unturned for Luis Enrique's side. So there we are. Sadly for Croatia, Ivan Perisic has tested positive for COVID-19. That's a huge miss.
That's a big miss.
Oh, it's so sad when you hear that. Obviously, it was a shame for Scotland with Billy Gilmore, and there's other players, you know, England and Mason Mount. We'll see if he starts tomorrow and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, Perisic is a huge miss. But in pure footballing terms, it is a chance for Spain.
It is indeed.
Who do you fancy for it, Peter? You've given all your predictions. Remind me what you predicted for this one.
I think I probably saw Spain to go through. And unless I didn't.
Didn't you say France on penalties?
Yeah, I think at this point, all bets are off. Like, they'll be
really?
Sort of, people will just be really, really tidy. People will not want to let anything pass them. So, I don't think it might go to penalties. So, there you go.
Yeah, this will be very short passy, this game, won't it?
Very saucy indeed. Before we go, everybody, our TV giveaway is back for another week. Thanks to our friends at Toshiba, we're giving away a 65-inch TV every Friday throughout the Euros over on our Patreon.
Wow.
You need to be a UK resident and signed up to our Patreon to enter, so head over to patreon.com/footballramble to get involved. We've had two lucky winners so far, and there are two more to come. Remember that signing up for a higher tier on our Patreon increases your chances of winning. Good luck, everybody. On tomorrow's show, Kate Vish and Pete Donaldson.
Bye-bye. Are we saying goodbye?
On tomorrow's show, Kate Vish and Pete Donaldson.
Yes,
looking
I am involved. Yes, yeah. Well, ask me a question. You can't just shout things at me.
What do you mean, ask me a question?
Ask me a question. Am I having a good time?
Do you think you're meant to give a preview of a show that hasn't happened yet?
I don't know what I'm supposed to do. You're just shouting my name.
I was just excited to know you're on tomorrow.
Okay, I'm on tomorrow. Yes, lovely. I'll be on tomorrow.
You are looking forward to it.
I'm going to do the show, and I'm going to go to my old house and do some weeding, and I'm going to watch the England-Germany match. I'm going to have a lovely time.
You're going to weed your old house?
I'm going to weed my old house.
Why?
There's weeds in it.
It's not your weed. Problem anymore, isn't it?
No, but I...
those terrible people.
I don't want to get an email from the estate saying, pity, you've left weeds in the garden.
Yeah.
Your responsibility was to get rid of the weeds.
Less said about that, the better, I think. thank you very much. Yeah,
also, I've buried some bones I need to exhume.
George from Rainbow and his dark present.
Thank you very much, Jim Campbell.
You're welcome,
thank
mate.
You, Pete Donaldson.
Goodbye.
Thank you, everybody. See you soon.
Farewell.
Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we'll weigh around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There are stories and mythology that this country has woven around black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like wary of the police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.